The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ يُو هُو بِلِيهِ اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
The month of Ramadan is very closely linked to the Quran. In the ayat which have been revealed about fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says fast during this month, the month of Ramadan, He introduces this month by saying, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ This is the month where the Quran was revealed. Of course, you know, I don't want to go into the details of the forms of revelation. There were two types of revelation. One was gradual, which started with the day of Mab'as, which is in Rajab, in the 40th year of the Prophet's life. And gradually continued till about 22 years till the wafat of the Prophet. But then there was a special honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to give to the Prophet, that once in a year in the month of Ramadan, in Laylatul Qadr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal the entire Quran on the heart of the Prophet. That was not the nuzul for tabligh. It was not, you know, to proclaim the Quran. That came gradually in 22 years. And so when he says that this is the month where the Quran was revealed, this is about this special, relationship of the Lord with his Mahbub, the most, you know, beloved of his messengers, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a difference between inzal and tanzil of the Quran. There are two different words used for these two kinds of revelation. However, that has created this very good tradition among the Muslims that they pay attention to the Quran during this month in different forms. And one of the reasons why we have Quran, you know, into 30 ajza, juz or para, as we say in Urdu, that's not a religious issue. That's actually a bid'ah. But I will say it's bid'ah hasana. You know, these Wahhabis who go after every bid'ah, they forget what they do themselves when they print the Quran. This issue of 20 or 30 juz of the Quran, this is actually physically dividing a Quran equally into 30 parts. Why do we do that? Just to facilitate recitation of the Quran in the month of Ramadan. Every night or day, or within the 24 hours, you recite one juz. You know, of course, in Toronto, mostly we have 29 days of Ramadan. We don't go for 30. You know, so you have to expedite your recitation. But the idea is that during the month of Ramadan, you know, you get to read the Quran more than what you might be reciting at other months. And it has a religious background to it, this ayat of Quran, which says the month of Ramadan is the month where Quran was revealed. And then we have a statement from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, alayhi salatu wasalam. Where he beautifully puts that, he says, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ رَبِيعٌ Everything has its own spring season. So in our seasons, you know, calendars, spring is considered to be the best one. And so the Imam says, everything has a spring season to itself. وَرَبِيعُ الْقُرْآنِ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ And the spring season for the Quran is the month of Ramadan. Because it is recited more than other months. And if you remember the statement that we heard from the khutbah of the Prophet last Friday, where he says that if you recite one ayat of the Quran in the month of Ramadan, the reward in the month of Ramadan would be as if you recited the entire Quran. So you can multiply that, you know, you have 6,000 something, you know, ayat. You know, multiply that by the Quran that you have read during the month of Ramadan. And this beautiful translation, beautiful tradition that we have, sometimes we do not appreciate what we have. If you study the history of religions, especially those who came before us, you will see there are certain religions, even revealed religions. When you look at their holy scriptures, some of them you will realize are not the original ones. Because in the language in which it was revealed, it was lost. What they have now, the earliest version of that, are actually the translations done during those times. So they don't have the original one, they have the translations only. When we look at this tradition that Muslims all over the world, you know, they sit down and recite the Quran, not only in their own languages, but in Arabic. And this is where we come to realize that this is one way of making sure that the original language of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preserved for every generation. So sometimes, you know, we say, well, you know, what is the benefit of reading it? We do not realize that when this tradition is there among Muslims to recite the Quran in Arabic, even though they might not understand it, is to ensure that the original language of the scripture is preserved. Another amazing thing I would say is that, you know, I think it is only the Quran which has that honor among all the books around the world, especially the scriptures of different religions, is that you have millions and millions of Muslims around the world who read the Quran, although majority of them don't know Arabic at all. The amazing thing is that Muslims learn from childhood how to read the Arabic Quran, but they don't know the language. You know, this is itself something amazing, but then we have to move beyond that. It is not only reading the Quran. Reciting the Quran is just the first step. That's where we get closer to the book. The purpose is to be in touch with the book, to understand the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to realize that Quran is talking to you. And this is where you will need to study the translation if you're not an Arab. Well, even if you're an Arab, doesn't mean you understand everything in the Quran. No insult to any Arabs here. I'm just saying that, you know, understanding the Quran is a science by itself, you know. So this is where you have to realize that, you know, otherwise you have people. There was a fellow who did the tafsir. He says, see, the Quran says, وَحُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ this and that, including لَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ. It says the flesh of swine. Who said the fat of swine is haram? This is when you just go with the language without understanding the whole context and the, you know, background of the Islamic teachings. Anyway, the point is that reading the Quran itself is just a step so that we get closer to the Quran and the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we read the ayat, it says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, do this. Or when the mu'mineen are being praised, normally on a subconscious level, what do? We say, okay, Allah is talking to mu'mineen. In our mind, mu'mineen is a group out there. What we do not realize that this ayat is talking to you. Take it as a personal statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you as a member of the community of mu'mineen. Then you will see that the reading of Quran will make a different, you know, sense to you that Quran is talking to you. And so talawat is just first step where the importance of understanding the message of the Quran is there.
Destroy my guilt and impurities like the